thank you.
You're so kind.
We just held your beautiful son.
Oh, thanks. Yes.
But we're feeling we might heckle today.
So you want to do that from the back, of course.
Well, no, you're you.
Oh, I see.
We're watching the overheads.
Got it. Thankfully, there are no slides or any fancy things today to heckle.
No?
No.
The microphone's going to be tricky.
That's true.
Thank you.
announcements. So many things to read for everybody. Number one, we condolences to Anna Buford Funk and their families on the passing of Anna's mother, Helena, age 90, on Friday in Paraguay, and the funeral was yesterday already. So condolences to them. In addition, we got a message this morning that the sister of Eileen Clausen, Marilyn Wallace, passed away this morning, age 62. So condolences to them also. It's good to see there's nobody in the hospital, but obviously many people who care. When I think of Haiti Vincent, that she travels away for 9 months, wish her the best, and also wish Kelly and Christine all the best in processing that. Number three, Council's happy to announce that Mark Thiessen has accepted our contract lead minister. They're still working on the details, so we don't know the date yet, which means we don't know the date of Francis' third return. Thank Megan Reiner for filling in for Anna this summer. And any other announcements? Volunteers are needed in number six. So there's always need for money and volunteers. Number six is volunteers. Number six, whatever, 11 is money. And there's many other announcements. There was an email that came from Mennonite Church Canada praying for the forest fires and all the issues going on in BC. So that's something to think about and consider. Is there anything else that somebody would like to announce or like to share at this point? If not, can we bow our heads for prayer? Dear Lord, we come together to worship you today, to rejoice in your creation with nature, especially during these warm summer days. We also celebrate how you've made creation, how meticulously you formed us. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, for the Holy Spirit to walk with us and carry us through life's journey. We thank you for this church, each individual. Bless all who have served in so many ways. Guide us through transitions as they occur. Give us new energies and insights how we can more faithfully serve you. We lift up the Funk family today as they process the passing of a senior family member, and also the Wallace Clausen family in the passing of a younger member. May you bring comfort. We pray for those in various stages of life who have various physical and mental issues. Strengthen those who care for them and serve each other. God, you have a dynamic world that you've created. It has so many blessings and difficulties for so many people. Today we bring, and we know that you bring both fire and rain and so many things into our lives. Today we pray especially for those affected by the BC forest fires. We pray for strength and wisdom for all the emergency workers and volunteers, for those displaced and those living in doubts and fears. May you continue to work in the lives of those impacted to your glory. We pray for those and so many others that you grant our requests or to grant an understanding heart. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The topic today was Let Us Both Grow Together. If you haven't read it, it's about weeds and wheat, which doesn't really come up to too many different songs in the Bible. But the topic really is about the final harvest and judgment, so some of the next items are trying to base on that. So take out the blue handle again, please, 525. How blessed are they?
So the song is fairly, I think, very new to us. In fact, I just learned this morning. So I'll sing verse 1, and then if you could sing verse 2, 3, and 4 with me, please.
Thank you.
children's story. Erica had a children's story prepared for William and for Simon, but it's nice to see a few others there. On the sermon topic, I did find a prayer of confession. Let me read it to you now. Merciful God, you plant each of us like seeds in the same field, and together we are nourished and nurtured by the sun. We sway in the wind and are refreshed by the wind. We are blessed by the knowledge that you want us to grow towards what you call us to be. When we deprive others of that same opportunity, forgive us. When we want to uproot those who we believe do not belong in our field, forgive us. When we label others as good or bad rather than accept who they are, forgive us. When we are reluctant to acknowledge that we ourselves are a mixture of weeds and wheat, forgive us. When we are asked, when we are afraid to look into the field of our own lives to see what is growing there, forgive us. O God, you know us inside and out, through and through. You search us and lay your hands upon us. You know what we are going to say even before we speak. So we pray that you will help us to reach out to the uprooted and the rejected, the lonely and the outcast, and to develop and grow the good in ourselves and in others and in the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. As we take the offering, let's sing Psalm 519 in the Renan Hymnal, the Brown Book, 519, Come Ye Thankful. chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, the parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did this weeds come from?" An enemy to this, he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" And then in verse 36 to 43, the parable explained. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "No one who sowed the good seed, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and then will lead out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Then they will throw him into a blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom and their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear."
Good morning. It's a good summer day. I'm very glad that it rained so nicely. My field was a bit dry. The weeds survived anyways. But the plants that I planted didn't do so well, so this rain should help. I have a little field out by Hebok, 59. And not mine, somebody lets me use his field. And there are other people who do too. So just a couple of weeks ago, when I went to check on my little thing there, two other people were there, or three other people were there as well. And what did we do? Well, all of us were weeding our crops. And one of them hadn't been there for some while, and the thistles in his patch were past his knees. I mean, they were really dry. So he put on gloves and he pulled them off by hand. He said, "It's a real satisfaction pulling out those thistles by their roots." And we all nodded. Because we really felt, yeah, that's good. Get rid of that stuff. I don't know about you, but the parable that we just heard, Jesus tells to the disciples and the people. This one about weeds growing among the wheat irritates me somewhat. Quite a bit, actually. In most situations, I want to have happen what the farmhands in this story want to do. They are eager to go out there and pull those weeds, pull them up by the roots, with real satisfaction. See the weed, the little scumbags, do all this immediately. But that is not how are the words of the lemon. So, the beach first. Every one of us who is a gardener would like to raise a spiritual role, right? Brow, if you think about putting out the weeds or not, and being told, no, no, let them grow until it's time. That's not the way to run your garden. It's not the way to run your farm. But consider the weeds that have grown up in wheat field, I like annual grass that looks just like the wheat. You cannot really distinguish one from the other. You don't know what is weed and what is wheat. And as they grow, their roots intertwine together. And if you pull the one, you damage the other. So, as the plants mature, it becomes even more complicated. Unless the roots are removed, the flower will be bitter and perhaps toxic. So it needs to be removed. So it's dead in old times. They hadn't heard of Roundup yet. In old times, they waited until harvest time, and they would cut it all off and put it on the flat surface. And by that time, you could see the difference between wheat and weed, and you could easily separate them. So the weeds can be separated from the wheat only at the proper time, following the harvest. And that brings us to something that our passage says. Let both them grow together until the harvest. Even if it makes sense to you, the word that's been used, and I discovered this. After all these years of doing service, you know, I still discover new things. I discovered this week, when I looked at the text, I read the Greek text, and I thought, I know this word. And I looked in my Greek concordance. You know what a concordance is, right? I have one in German, one in English, and one in Greek. And it helps. So I looked at the concordance and I found the word in the most unexpected place. I found it in the Lord's Prayer, a few chapters earlier. Same word. Used, translated quite differently from what he says here. Here it says, let. Let, as in accept it, okay? Leave it be. Push it out. From our perspective, weeds need to be cleaned out. It's crazy how the evil in the world can reign. The plants that we want to yank out by the roots are the people in our midst sometimes. The people who we want to lock up and throw away the key. You ever heard that expression? Ever use it yourself? I have, I must confess. They are the people that, as somebody once put to me, I like to put them in an electric chair. Oops. And then there are the expressions like, bomb them to oblivion. Evil, in our midst, evil in the world. Evil we want to get rid of. There are times when many of us, at least momentarily, see this as an obvious solution. We want the wheat field of the world to flourish with wheat and not be scarred by weeds. Or we may sublimate our age, our impotence, our despair, our depression about God. Why doesn't God do something about the evil in the world? Indeed. Haven't you asked that question many a time? Why doesn't God root out evil? Why does he allow that horrible crimes are committed sing countless weeds. And so we hear from the landowner, let them both grow together under the house. If you look carefully at the weeds, so you must now look carefully at words. The word translated, let both grow together under the harvest, in the original Greek, means many different things. One, as I already said, is let, in the sense of allow or permit. The same word is used in the Lord's Prayer where it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The same word. Forgive. Here it says let. There it says forgive. So pardon, forgiveness. This is a part of the meaning that appears in the Lord's Prayer and it appears here in this parable. There is a commentary by Robert Farrakhan. And he builds his whole interpretation of this parable on these two meanings of the same word. And he goes on for pages on it. Let both grow together until the harvest. And the original language that carries a sense of forgiveness toward the malicious enemy. Now, what does that teach us? Is that so? Then this parable invites us to a discipleship that accepts that evil is part of this world. Not that you embrace it, not that you rejoice in it, no, but that you accept it. The very real evil that others do is not answered by destroying it, by attacking the people responsible. Doing so only adds more harm to the situation. Instead, our response is to be forgiveness and a willingness to trust that God has his purposes. They say, let us tear it out. And he said, no, we'll do more damage than good. Let them grow. God, the landowner, practices forgiveness and patience. And by his example, the same approach is recommended to us. Certainly, patience and forgiveness appear to be functions of God with us, isn't it? And with the world. Look around you. You see, everywhere in the world, the weeds and the wheat grow together. Sometimes in dramatic, horrible ways, sometimes in every ordinary, ugly ways. And so you and I, sometimes we are wheat, sometimes we are weed. St. Augustine, one of the church fathers, centuries ago, almost millennia ago, I could say, in commenting on this parable, makes the same point when he says, and I quote, there is this difference between people and real grain and real weeds. For what was grain in the field is grain, and what were weeds in the field are weeds. But in the Lord's field, which is the church, at times what was grain turns into weeds, and at times what were weeds turned into grain. No one knows what they will be tomorrow. No one knows what you will be tomorrow. God gives us an amazing latitude to make choices, to do right, even to do wrong, to the point of inflicting grievous harm on others and on ourselves. And God does not pull people out of the mire of their mistakes by condemning them, but by forgiving them. It is a strange way to run the world, I tell you. And sometimes it seems parables about patience and forgiveness, like the one today, about the landowner who suffers the reaps and meet to grow together through the many months leading to the harvest. But Jesus doesn't rest content with parables. When his enemies nail him to the cross, he forgives them. Risen from the dead, he forgives those disciples that skipped out on him when he needed the most, and set them up in the business of spreading his forgiveness to anybody who needs it, which is to say, everybody. Once the harvest is in, the weeds will be recognized for what they are and thrown into the fire. There's mercy, but there's also justice. There's a God who welcomes us with open arms, and there are some of us, just maybe, who will always insist on keeping our distance. Wheat and weeds. Who's one? And who's the other? Augustine reminds us that no one knows what he will be tomorrow. Yes, there is something greater than justice here. There is divine forgiveness. The burden is to let weeds and wheat grow together for a season because they are somehow inseparable. The recognition that revenge resolves nothing, but only increases evil. Whether we are always capable of living in the light of that truth is clear from this parable, clearer still from the cross, that forgiveness and forbearance are God's way of working with the broken world. And we are invited to follow that path. This approach may leave us profoundly uneasy, even at odds with God, because we want justice for the evil of others. But without his and this forbearance, this forgiveness, no one of us would stand a chance, would we? As Paul puts it in Romans, we are all sinners, every one of us. Our preoccupation with the weeds must not prevent us from recognizing the wondrous conclusion of the parable. How indeed the harvest happens. An abundance of wheat is gathered in, enough to make landowner and farmhands rejoice in the bounty. The weeds of the field have no power to stop to the realization of this beauty and this bounty. The seed was good, and it bore through adversity a fruitful harvest. And so the parable ends on a note of brilliant triumph about that harvest. The righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Evil is real, but it's not ultimate. It never has a last word. Greater by far are those who shine in their Father's kingdom, those who mirror the bright light of divine compassion. Such was one person who, amid the horrors of the concentration camp at Ravensbrück, wrote a prayer. He had found faith and hope in his situation enough to write a prayer that I'd like to pray with us to conclude this service or this sermon. This prayer points us past the enemy's evil action to the wonder of the harvest. It attests that the landowner's forbearance is not foolishness, but wisdom that is now there to say it out there. O Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all the suffering they have inflicted. Remember the fruits we have brought thanks to this suffering. Our comradeship, our loyalty, our humility, our courage, our generosity. The greatness of heart which has grown out of all this. And when they come to judgment, let all the fruits which we have borne be their forgiveness. Amen.
if you're able, please stand for the benediction and remain standing for the final song. Benediction is based on Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. As you go from here into the week ahead, with whatever joys and challenges it holds, do not be discouraged or disheartened. Remember the glory that awaits you as a child of God. Hold on to that truth. Live in that hope. And may the peace of God, the blessing of Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you and among you. Amen. Number 599, the blue hymnal, He Leadeth Me, 599.